Enjoyed the music today. I always enjoy hearing Randy and Missy sing, and enjoy Brother Randy's Amazing Grace song. He could sing that every Sunday. And I don't want to go into it, but some of these songs I could hear every Sunday wouldn't bother me not one bit. And I know that's just me. I know some people like variety. I am not one of them. And food, the same way. There's some things I like and I could eat them every day. Me and my wife are opposites in that, by the way, just to let you know. I ate leftovers for 3 days. By the way, 3 days is kind of my cutoff limit. My wife says it's 5 days. Before we get into the scriptures, let's have a vote. How many of y'all believe it's 3 days? Three. 3 days. How many of y'all say 4 days? How many of y'all go 4 days? Some of y'all don't want to admit to it. What is it? That's good. Some of these people came for church tonight, and I'm making a vote on food. How many of y'all go 5 days? How many of y'all do the 5 days? A lot of you. Okay. All right. 5 days. Somebody does 7 days, I would already be dead. I'm just kidding. And she always reminds me. Turn to Nehemiah, by the way. She always reminds me. She says, you know, your grandma, which, you know, I talk about my grandma on the farm up in Oklahoma and staying weeks at a time up there. And my grandmother, she put stuff back out. Or she'd leave stuff out for a day or two, you know, on the cabinet, on the countertops. And my wife would say, you ate all that stuff. And said, that's my grandma. Everything she touches is fine. I wish I had one of them blackberry cobblers right now. I hope you'll bear with me tonight because we're going to kind of do a review of these first two chapters. And a little bit of Old Testament lesson again as we enter the new year. I'm looking forward to going through the book of Nehemiah. We'll begin after stewardship conference, we'll begin in Nehemiah chapter 2, and there in verses 18 and 19, we'll start there the next go-around. I'm amazed as I go back through the book of Nehemiah, how you could preach the first and second chapter, you could do it several times. And there's so much there. The life of Nehemiah, he was an amazing man. To think that he lived in that culture and lived there in that era, and yet still serving God, he was part of that remnant, that small remnant. And the burden he had for his own people, and the burden that he had for his city, the city of Jerusalem, I think that's something we can learn from. I on purpose this morning left some of a message out. I'm really trying to watch the clock better on Sunday morning. But this morning when we came to the point of the religious area of deception and deceivers waxing worse and worse, I did not do the point on the government in our country. And also I kind of felt like this morning's sermon was continuing to get a little darker and darker, so I didn't want to get to there. And you know, but I do think it's important that we as Christians are know the times in which we live in. The Bible even specifies that. It says we ought to know the times. And we ought to be aware of what's going on in our country today. And we do. It's unprecedented what's happening today in our government. And even in culture as such. But though I've told you this morning, the culture has been this rotten before. You can go back and you can do some studies in the 1800s, early 1900s. You can find some absolute moral depravity going on. But certainly unprecedented what's going on with our country. And we ought to be aware of it, and we ought to do something about it. Be active, engage in not just actively being involved in voting and so forth, but get behind a candidate who's good. Get behind a candidate who's a Christian. And get involved. Support a campaign. I told you, 3 years ago was the first time I'd ever given money to a campaign. I've done so now since then, every year, and sometimes more than that. And that wasn't a whole lot, $50, $100. I'm not saying, you know, write a check for $1 million. I'm just, get involved. But I'm just just concerned. Not only should you get behind and vote, but you should pray for your country. And Nehemiah had a great burden for his country. And when he heard in chapter 1, when he heard of the report that the walls of Jerusalem were still broken down and there was still rubble all the way around the city. They had built the houses, they had built the temple, but the walls were broken down. So anybody could come in. The enemies at night could come in. And it left the city exposed to everything, all elements of evil. And I will address it tonight, and I hate to get political on you, but it's common sense to build a wall. It's just common sense. You can't, and it has nothing to do with being prejudiced or anything such as that, but it's common sense. You want to keep people out, you build a wall. Israel's done it. Most other countries have done it. And it's ludicrous, and it's really all, y'all know this, it's all political. And building a wall. And by the way, that $5 billion is just a drop in the bucket in the budget. I mean, I saw somewhere, somebody said, that's just an error in their budget. It's like they could just round the numbers off and pay for the wall. And I know that's political tonight, but the application does apply tonight. The walls are there for protection. And Nehemiah understood that. And so he got a great burden for his city. Look there with me. It says in verse 3 of chapter 1, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity that are in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, now day and night." He prayed for them day and night. Yeah. He had a tremendous burden for his countrymen, for the city of Jerusalem, the children of Israel, "which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house of sin. We have dealt very corruptly against thee." And he prays to the God of heaven. I want to go through the whole prayer. But certainly we see Nehemiah weeping and praying for the city of Jerusalem. He cared for this city. He cared for them. He asked God. He asked God. In fact, in as such, he volunteered. I mentioned this morning, too, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And mankind will be selfish and rebellious and all the indications of the end time. And I did say this morning that look up your Redeemer draweth nigh. As we see these things happening in our culture, then understand the Lord's coming is soon. But let's not put off or let's not negate the possibility of revival. And in fact, we're going to have revival services this summer. Brother McCracken's going to be with us. And I pray that God would bring about a revival, as he did in the 1800s when America was at very low point. As he did even in the there during the Depression, there was somewhat a revival took place. And then we kind of had a dip after all the men came back from war. And then you had the 60s movement. And then you had kind of a resurgence underneath. And again, I mentioned his name, Jerry Falwell, and some of those who kind of brought morality to the forefront. And you saw and you experienced not necessarily a revival as it was in the 1800s, but you saw a resurgence of biblical morality. And I don't want to just, again, not just set that aside. Revival is possible if we, as Nehemiah has done here, if we will care. If we'll care enough to do something about it. In other words, spending extended times in prayer for our country. It said he prayed certain days. By the way, he prayed several months. He prayed, the Bible says here, he prayed day and night. Is America on your prayer list? One at you. I used to, when I was a kid, my dad would always say, "I got one pointing at you and three back at me." Is America on your prayer list? I know when Obama was president, he was on my prayer list. And I prayed for him. I can't say I prayed for him every day, but I prayed for him pretty consistently. Is Trump on your prayer list? Is President Trump on your prayer list? Do you know who your local your local senator is, or you know who your local state senator and your state representative. You know who they are. Do you pray for them? In other words, put feet to the words. Put feet to your mouth. And again, I'm preaching to myself as well. Let's pray. Again, we see Nehemiah prayed for them. He prayed day and night. Can I remind you there's power in prayer? There's power in prayer. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. And prayer is speaking to God. It's having a conversation with our Heavenly Father. Tonight I will go home after the Bean and Soup Fellowship. Food comes up again. And around 10 o'clock or so, myself, I'll call my dad, or my dad will call me, generally speaking. And I get to talk to my dad. And I get to tell him how my day went. And he'll tell me how his day went. And if the day went bad, we'll try to cheer each other up. If the day went good, we'll try to encourage each other still. But I get to talk to my dad. By the way, we can talk to our Heavenly Father anytime we want. Papa, our Heavenly Father, Abba, Father, pray to Him. And we ought to have, again, if we're going to care, if we care for our country, then we ought to pray for our country and spend time with the Father talking to Him about it. So Nehemiah had a great burden for his city. He wept before God. He sat down and wept and mourned. We see that Nehemiah was a leader of men. He rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, but before he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, he humbled himself. Remember that outline when Brother McCracken was here years ago? Humble, broken, and contrite. I still, because it's HBC, I remember it easily. But it is the marks of an individual who is seeking revival. Someone who's humble and broken and contrite. Remember the verse, Psalm 51 says, a sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And again, the Bible speaks of God not delighting in burnt offerings, but the offerings of our hearts as we come to Him in prayer and weeping and humbling ourselves. I think in my own life, especially here of late, I find myself having absolutely a lack of compassion. I don't know that my own life has been, you know, somewhat of a drought, but when I sense it, don't you? When you get to that spot, maybe you don't. And when I get to that position, I want to come before God, my Heavenly Father, as I generally do every day, and say, Lord, you know there's something wrong. Lord, give me compassion. Compassion doesn't come naturally, right? Now, for a dad and a mom having compassion for their children, you know, may come somewhat natural. Amen. But having compassion for your next door neighbor doesn't. Hello. I mean, I want to take care of my family, make sure the air's on at my house, and there's plenty of food in the refrigerator. But what about my next door neighbor? And what about his soul? And what about him and his wife's destination and their kids' destination when they die? And having that compassion and having that compassion and having that burden to the point of weeping. I grew up in a home where, you know, my dad didn't cry a lot. And not saying my dad ever said, you know, my dad never told me men don't cry. In fact, some of y'all may remember this story. I had asthma real bad when I was a kid. And so in that, you know, there was the wise tale that if you had a chihuahua, you know, the chihuahua would help with asthma. Amen. None of y'all have ever heard that before. Yeah, I mean, I had asthma really bad before I was, you know, 12 and down. I had asthma to the point where I was at the hospital a lot, and it was a bad deal. And my dad and mom had lots of different things they had to do to keep me from dying, right? And so one of the things my dad, I bought it with my own money, a chihuahua. It's like $50. So I earned it, you know. Registered, you know, whatever, chihuahua. Pablo was his name. What are y'all laughing at? This is a great story. Maybe I haven't told this story very often. And so I had the dog for probably a year or so. And again, if the dog was going to assume and your asthma, then you did everything with the dog. The dog slept with me. I mean, the dog did everything with me. The dog loved me. I was lovable back then. But somebody came through our neighborhood. And again, we lived out in the country, but we lived on a dirt road. And there was about six houses down our road. And somebody came through and poisoned a bunch of dogs. And I don't remember how many died on our street. It was five or six or seven. And I don't know what happened. Maybe somebody put out some rat poison, didn't know what's going on. But my dog died. And, I mean, my dad even spent some money at the vet trying to, you know, charcoal him and all that kind of thing. Didn't work. And so me and my dad are in the backyard, dig a hole, right? Man, I'm not crying. And I look over at my dad, and he is bawling. And I started crying. And that's when he told me, it's not wrong to cry. Man or no, not a man, it's not wrong to cry. And I know, again, I think the Bible, and I don't want to go into the difference between a man and a woman tonight, but there is a difference. God has wired us differently, right? That's my terminology. God wired men differently than he wired women. Most women do have that nurturing somewhat considerably more than men do. And to see my dad cry, it impacted me. But I still find myself in that same mode of not having the emotional moving in my own life as I ought to have for people. That it doesn't move me in such a way to cause me to weep. There's only been several occasions in my entire life where I've even cried, and I've cried more in the last two or three years than I've cried in my entire life. And it's impacted me, almost like it's catchable. You know, it's our once you've done it a few times, it's easier to do it. I don't know. No. But to have that moving, Nehemiah wept. He wept for his own countrymen. He wept for that remnant that was in the city. He wept for his city in that it was not protected. And may we have that kind of compassion. You want to have revival? Pray. You want to have revival? Weep. Get to the point in your life where you can actually be moved in such a way. It's crazy to me that we'll cry at a movie. We won't cry for the person next door that's dying and going to hell. I know I can say that as a pastor, right? I can say that, and it can either jar you or not jar you. I don't know if it does or not. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to actually follow through and follow up on it. Do we really care? Nehemiah cared. He followed through, by the way. In fact, he put his life in jeopardy for the sake of his own countrymen, for his own city. In verses 6 through 7, he's confessing his sins. Not only is he confessing his sins, he's confessing the sins of the country and for the sins of the Jews. And can I tell you, if we're going to have genuine revival, if we're going to experience revival, we must have a burden, and we must care, and we must weep. But we also have to confess our sins. And as Christians, we ought to confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nehemiah confessed his sins and confessed the sins of the country. You can look in Daniel chapter 9. We won't do so tonight, but in Daniel confessed his sins to God. Daniel the prophet. The one who would not bow, Daniel the prophet who faced the den of lions. Daniel the prophet confessed his sins. I think about Paul in Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8 there. Paul saying, the things I want to do, those are the things I don't do. The things that I do, those are the things I shouldn't do. And he said, there's a war within my members. If Paul was a sinner, surely we are. Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament, we need to remember that. In fact, John tells us, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth isn't in you. 1 John. Proverbs says in Proverbs 28, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. We must come to God not only caring and weeping, but confessing our sins. When's the last time you confessed? I would tell you it ought to be a daily process, because we sin every day. Amen. And we ought to confess our sins. And I want to remind you too, you'll hear someone pray and they'll say, "Lord, forgive me my sins." As a Christian, that's not the way to pray. Amen. As a born-again believer, as a child of God, you should confess your sins individually. You should go to God and confess them individually. You don't confess them in a broad sense. Right? I go to my dad and say, "Lord, Dad, I'm sorry, I did wrong." They don't cut it with my dad growing up, right? "What did you do, son?" And then he would apply the Board of Education, the seat of understanding. Then he would ask me again, "What did you do?" And I had to tell him again. And then the hugging took place, and I had to say, "I love you, Dad." He had to make me say that. I did the same thing with my kids. It's a good way to do it. But no, what did you do? Confess that before God. Confess it to Him, and He will forgive you. And I've reminded our congregation many times of this, that Jesus said we are to forgive 70 times 70. That means forever. If He's asking us to forgive others in such a fashion, don't you think He would forgive us in the same way? And I get it all the time. People come to my office or ask for advice and, you know, and habitual sin in their lives. And they'll say, "Well, preacher, I've asked God for forgiveness I don't know how many times." Well, ask Him again. If you genuinely come and ask for forgiveness, He'll forgive you. You say, "Well, what if happens if I slip up and do it on Wednesday? I confessed it on Sunday and I did it again." Well, ask forgiveness again. And if you truly believe it in your heart and you truly confess, He'll forgive you. That's the God we have. That's an amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. He loves us unconditionally. He'll forgive us over and over and over and over again. We should confess our sins and forsake them. Lastly, not only did He care, He wept, He confessed His sins, but He fasted and prayed. He fasted in prayer. Look at verse 4 again. It says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." I know it don't seem like it, but August will be here before you know it, and our revival services will begin. And the last several years, we have encouraged everyone to fast at least one day or at least one meal before the revival. And can I tell you, when I was a kid growing up, my dad used to fast. Pretty often, he would take a few days and fast. And I've seen my dad, and I'll brag on him. He would fast 7 days. I physically couldn't do that. One of y'all would have to come and revive me, and I would die. But I have found that I can fast. You can do a fast with juice, so that at least you get some sugar. Somebody with hypoglycemia wouldn't lay over and die or whatever. I don't know if I would die or not. Maybe I wouldn't die. Miss James, I wouldn't die, would I? No. But my dad would fast for days at a time. And I would, again, I believe, and you know how I feel about my dad. I think he's one of the greatest Christians I've ever met. In fact, to me, he's the greatest Christian I've ever met. Nehemiah prayed, but he didn't just pray, he fasted. I just want to encourage you. If you are dealing with something in your own life, whatever that may be, have you tried fasting? Certainly, our flesh is strong, isn't it? And when you pull back and you put the reins on your flesh and you especially the appetites of the flesh, it has an impact on you spiritually. It really does. I've experienced it in my own life. Nehemiah fasted. You want to have revival in your own life? Care, weep, confess, and fast. I do think if you could have, and certainly those four things are not the only things we could do to have revival, but they're certainly a big major part of it. The new year is fresh upon us. Just want to encourage you tonight, as Nehemiah, had compassion. Would you pray if God give you compassion? As Nehemiah wept, would you pray and realize, hey, I haven't been moved emotionally lately. Oh, I got moved by the movie the other night, but have you been moved with compassion for your next door neighbor or your coworker? Maybe even to the point of weeping. Have you confessed your sins as of late? Nobody, you know, wants to realize that, or maybe we take it for granted. Maybe you've been a Christian for 20 years and you think, I'm okay. No, daily follow me, he says. And then fast. When's the last time you fasted? When's the last time you took your flesh and bridled it and put a wall around it? And you know what I'm saying. I deal with that sometimes in the area of food, right? And it's sometimes difficult. I want to be as close to the Lord as I possibly can in the new year. I want to have that communion with Him in the daily walk. And so far, man, I've really enjoyed this year in my own daily walk. I'm not saying I haven't in the past. I'm just saying a fresh new year, sometimes for me, it helps. If you've already gotten off the wagon, get back on. And let's pray. Let's pray for revival for our country. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's have a burden for them and so forth. All right, let's all stand. Hymn 118, I Need Thee Every Hour. After we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example of Nehemiah, and Lord, may we have that compassion that we ought to have. I'm just reminded again, over and over again, where it said Your Son had compassion on those who He was ministering to, those He was looking at. And God, may we be moved emotionally. May it move us. And Lord, may we confess our sins as we ought to do. And Lord, would You bless? Would You be with those in leadership in our government? Would You give them wisdom? Would You lead and direct them? Lord, may You soften their hearts. Give them wisdom. Lord, bless again the reading of Your word today. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.